Okay, so we have the children back in class learning about joy, one of God's fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so we've been going through the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know, for quite a while now. And we know that as we come up on Pentecost, we'll be speaking on more messages, and then on Pentecost, we'll talk more about the Holy Spirit. But we know the Holy Spirit in John 14 says it's a helper. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to send you the helper to help teach you and to give you remembrance to my word, to God's word. So it's not a person, but it's a helper. It's the Spirit of all truth, John chapter 16. Jesus Christ says that it's the power of God in Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. And he says in verse 8 that when this Holy Spirit comes, that you're going to be able to use it to witness me. We're not going to have fear. Like the Hebrews, the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we have an individual here in this congregation, and I know there's more than one, but we have someone in here who's 94 years old and wants to go through the tribulation. She wants Jesus Christ's return to happen in her lifetime. And I said, why? Because I want to be a witness. I want to be a witness to God, to stand up for truth, and people can know what God is showing me, and I can point people to God. So God's Holy Spirit is not a fear, not afraid to go through the tribulation if that happens. We're ready because we're living God's way of life now. Because Ephesians 4:30 says we're not to grieve God's Holy Spirit. When God works with us and he's guiding us and he's leading us, we're not to ignore it. We are to change and to go forward as we heard in the sermon today. And so Galatians 5:22, as it you go through that, and I know we've read that, and I'm not going to go there right now, but it tells us to put on the fruits of the Spirit, to wear them, to apply them in our lives, and not to provoke each other, but to walk in God's Spirit. Now, can our children walk in God's Spirit? We've been teaching them the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They do not have God's Holy Spirit in them. Holy Spirit is working with them and guiding them, and we teach them. And they can come to learn that they too need help to be like God, that they need the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in their lives to receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, there are many ingredients to be able to display the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? We need a God. We need a plan. We need a Savior. We need the salvation, right? So we have our Passover lamb, as we heard in the first message. Well, we learn about sin, right? We want to put it out, and we put on righteousness. We want to be made right, right? You can't just come here and say, okay, I want to receive the Holy Spirit, and I want to put on these fruits. Well, I have today, I have two ingredients that are needed for us to be able to display God's power in us. So we can be what the Holy Spirit represents. What it means. We can display God's power. We can be what the Holy Spirit says we are to be. Mercy and forgiveness are two needed ingredients for us to be able to display the power of God in us. Without God having mercy upon us and giving us his Son so that we can be forgiven, we wouldn't be able to display the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And without us being able to have mercy in our lives, to show mercy towards others and to be able to forgive others, we wouldn't be able to display the fruits of the Holy Spirit either. So God shows us that mercy and forgiveness are needed in our lives. We need to internalize them. So my SPS, how are mercy and forgiveness to be applied in our lives? How are they to be applied in our lives? Before we can just get into that, I want to say, let's explain a little bit about mercy and forgiveness. Now, mercy and forgiveness are huge topics, and it's more than just one sermon on each of these topics. I titled this Ingredients Needed. It's an overview to help us to see what we need to be doing to be able to apply God's fruits in us. Now, we have many English speakers who interpret their views, right? We have it, commentaries all the time. And it helps us in certain things on history and things like that. But it doesn't matter what their interpretation is when it comes to trying to describe God's Word. Because I Googled, what is God's Holy Spirit today? All right? What is God's Holy Spirit? Well, it's a person. Okay. You get into all these different concepts and things. It doesn't matter what their interpretation is. What matters is God's Word, right? And through God's Holy Spirit, as we've been called and apply it, we grow in it. And we're taught by it through His ministry and teachers as well. So, mercy. You have mercy. You have merciful. You have to have mercy. Mercy is a noun. To be merciful is a verb. To have mercy is an adjective, right? The three different Greek words, as you would go into this to break it down, is what Mr. Tuck had talked about earlier. You know, to have mercy, to have compassion. So it's have compassion, sympathy, or pity. So mercy, kindness, or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted. Are we miserable and afflicted? Yes. God has had mercy upon us. Oh, so I have to provide a sacrifice so their sins can be forgiven. So it's something that is joined with what is already in process and a desire to help us. And we in turn also help others. Towards men, it's to exercise a virtue of mercy, to show oneself merciful by looking past others, looking past their faults, their problems, and seeing the value and the potential in others. Right? Last night we're at the dinner table. I kept saying something. And my wife goes, shh. And Courtney goes, yeah, you know. It doesn't matter who's right. It's about how we live God's Word. And we all wrestle with this. I'm not perfect. No one is. But we must, I mean, as far as perfect and living God's law and never sin. But we want to be perfect. We want to have that maturity, like understanding what God's will is and having the mind of Christ and apply it in our lives. That's what God is. And He wants us to be like that. He wants us to understand His will. Mercy. And the way God is, just to describe a small part of it, because there's a whole message on it. In general, a providence or the mercy and the clemency is to reduce the pardon. To reduce the pardon. So in this case, God wants to reduce the pardon of the death penalty. All right? I'm not saying reduce. Because when we sin, God can reduce the penalty, which is eternal death. But guess what? It doesn't take all the penalties away. There's consequences for sin, which we have to live with. And we learn that, you know what? It's not wise to keep sinning because look at all the pain that comes with it. There are lessons, as we'll touch on in just a minute. But the clemency of God in providing spiritual care and an offering of salvation by Jesus Christ. And also Jesus Christ, ultimately, to be able to return judgment by wiping out our sins to eventually give all mankind that repents the gift of eternal life. So as an example for us, right, if we're not being merciful, just James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy. If all we're doing is judging others, picking at each other's faults, we're not showing mercy. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. And then it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. If we're showing mercy to others, as we heard in the first message, then that judgment of eternal death can be wiped away from us. God doesn't want us to judge or to condemn. It's not our job. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, right? As we heard in the first message, then it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, to be humble, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, his mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, Jesus Christ paid the penalty of our sins. Our sins can be forgiven through his shed blood. And it's through Jesus Christ that we can have life. When we sin, who are we killing? Are we killing Jesus Christ every time we sin? The wages of sin is death. We're killing ourselves every time we sin. But God's mercy, he's given us a sacrifice. He's willing to die for us that we can have life. So we look at mercy. Mercy is very similar to forgiveness. There's two forms of forgiveness. You have forgive and forgiveness. Forgive is a noun. Forgiveness is a verb. It's an action word. I'm going to forgive, right? There's three Greek translations. It means to grant favor, to let, or to let be. Okay? Now, these translations can be separate from sin. Give me an example. And we know that in Matthew 4:11, it says, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Left him means let be. Satan left. He let it be. He left. Luke 4:39, so he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and served them. The fever left. It left. When we sin, when someone sins against us, let me say that. When we sin, if we do what God wants us to do and use that sacrifice to plan our lives, he's going to let that sin go. Now, there's still consequences. But when we sin, he wants us to let it go. Say, well, I need to forgive them. I need to let it go. Let it go. When they sin against us, that means to leave. Let it be. When it's tied to sin, yes, it means to forgive. Let's turn over to Matthew 18 real quick. And we know that we have this question that Peter asks, how many times should I forgive? All right, so it's on his mind. So again, we're going to come to this point now. How are mercy and forgiveness to be applied in our lives? How can we apply it in our everyday lives? God is merciful. He wants us to be merciful. He wants to have compassion, sympathy, and pity on others. And when we sin, or when others sin against us, he wants us to let it go, as we heard in the first message. So then Peter came to him, Matthew 18. This is, we know this is when you have a sin against or a complaint against a brother, someone sinned against you, you know, this is what we turn to. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother who sins against me, how many times shall I forgive him? So is there a time? And so we come, no, there's not a certain amount of time. All right. It's not 7, and it's not 490. We continue to let it go. If someone's going to continue to abuse us, we get out of that relationship. Okay, but he is saying, if my brother comes and repents, how many times should I forgive him? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. So now here Jesus Christ is going to relate sin to debt. Okay? Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, okay, the accounts for us, if we look at the debt, we deserve eternal death. But God wants to settle those accounts. He doesn't want us to have eternal death. And when he had begun to settle accounts, there was one brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. So it's something that cannot be paid back. Of and by ourselves, our sins cannot be forgiven. We need Jesus Christ. We need that sacrifice that Jesus, or that God the Father is providing. There's no other way. That debt can't be paid back. We cannot leave God out of the picture in our everyday lives. We must go to him, as it says in Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. We have a proclivity to sin. We have weaknesses. Our nature is contrary to God's nature. And we also have Satan tempting us. And we can go before God's throne and we can be given strength and guidance and direction. So, but he was not able to pay, okay? And his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. So the payment for us is eternal death. But God has compassion. He has mercy. The servant therefore fell down upon him saying, Master, have patience. Master, have mercy. Patience is a type of mercy with me, and I will pay you all. So, okay, God is saying, all right, we're asking for mercy. I'm going to give you mercy. I also want you to extend that mercy. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion. God was moved with mercy and released him and forgave him the debt. So then God says, okay, I have mercy. I'm releasing you of this debt, the penalty of sin. And that's what he's done with us. So the question is, what do we do when we are forgiven by God? God doesn't want us to practice sin. Yes, we sin and we make mistakes, but we must not be practicing it. And we understand it and we know it. So the question is, are we applying it in our lives? Let's continue, verse 29. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. So he went and found someone out there. I remember you sinned against me. And I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting it go. In the back of his mind, Holy Spirit's there. Tell him you need to let it go. But guess what? He's grieving the Holy Spirit. We're grieving the Holy Spirit when we do this. We know we should do it, but we don't do it. Holy Spirit's yearning inside of us. Don't do it. Forgive. So he found someone who owed him 100 denarii. Someone that he continued to have a grudge with, and or this person, he or she, and they would not let it go. And he laid hands on him, and he took him to the by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. You hurt me. You sinned against me. And now I need to make you pay. He's not letting it go. She's not letting it go. Let it go. Let it go is what's being told here. Forgive. So the fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, have patience. Have mercy. That's what is being said. Have mercy with me, and I will pay you all. I'll say I'm sorry. I have to make it up to you. I'm going to do my best to do it. Have mercy. How many people have done that to us that have asked? Said, you know what, I'm sorry, but we won't let it go. We hold a grudge. But he would not. And went out and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. I am not going to accept your forgiveness. And even as we heard in the first message, even if they didn't say they're sorry, we still let it go. As we'll talk about that here in just a second in Luke chapter 3. It's already 4:30, but let me just run through this real quick. And when his fellow servants saw that what had been done, they were very grieved. Because they knew. We know when we see it in the church. We are grieved when we see our brothers and sisters not forgive. And when they continue on it, when they leave and depart, and who knows where they go. They understand it, they know it, but it's not applied in their lives. I can teach forgiveness, I can teach mercy, and I don't have to apply it in my life. Somewhere down the line, God may take it out of my head. I know it. I get so ingrained in it, I lose my conscience. I think I'm perfect. I don't need to be corrected. I'm judging. Wait till God comes back. He'll take care of you. We're to be ministers of righteousness, right? We're supposed to be compassionate and kind. We need to let it go. No matter what people do to us. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, "You wicked servant." We're wicked. We're deserving of eternal death. "I forgave you all that debt. I forgave you your sins. I called you. You knew the truth. I had mercy upon you. Because you begged me." We knew when we first got this understanding. We knew we needed our sins forgiven. We begged. We sought it. We loved the truth. We couldn't get enough. And then we started not forgiving. We started those fruits of the Spirit that are supposed to be evident in our lives. They started disappearing because we wouldn't accept God's mercy. We wouldn't apply it. He said, "Shouldn't you also have had compassion? Shouldn't you should have also had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had pity," which is also mercy, "on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he would pay all that was due him. Can't be paid back. This gift that God gives us must be applied in our lives. We know it. If we know it and understand it and don't do it, then that death penalty is on us. And verse 35 is the key. That's what we've been talking about. "And so my heavenly Father also will do to you, to each of you from..." Okay, let me restart over. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." It must come from God's, our heart, from our mind. It can't just be conditionally, "You sinned against me and really hurt me, and I guess I'll forgive you." And then we keep bringing it up. No, that's conditionally. Unconditionally is, "I will let it go no matter what, whether you say, someone says they're sorry or not." Jump in here real quick. Luke 17:3. I referred to it. Let's turn over there. Luke 17:3. And this part of being conditional or unconditional. We need to, when we let it go, the Holy Spirit's going to tell us, are you really letting it go? Or is it just a surface thing? Is it from the heart? Are we going to listen to what God says? And you know what? And it's like, no, it's not from the heart. And it's hard to go to a person and ask for forgiveness, to say you're sorry. Our mates, just go give them a kiss. "I'm sorry." And put our arms around them. Because we have that, who we are, and it is hard. Then how is our relationship with our God? Are we on our knees? Are we seeking God to have His mercy, to apply that forgiveness that He's given to us unconditionally, to be what God has called us to be, united, to be at one, to be love. That can only come through God's mercy, through His forgiveness, and us applying it. And it'll be evident in the fruits. Luke 17:3 says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Oh, only if he repents do I forgive him. No. Rebuke him means, okay, I'm going to rebuke my brother or my sister. I'm going to do it very tenderly. I don't have a grudge against them. I'm using the fruits that God has told me to use through His Spirit. I'm going to display joy. I'm going to display love. We don't hold a grudge. We use the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we can rebuke them when the time is right. And sometimes that time may be a while. They can see by your example. And maybe they'll bring it up. You say, yeah, you did do that. But I let it go. I let it go. And you know what? Just like that. Oh, you acknowledged it. You rebuked them. And the time. It's not a time where we go and I got to go to them and I got to rebuke them. I got to let them know what their sin is. That's wrong. Because that's conditional. It's not unconditional. We need to just let it go. And with God's help, He can help us to let it go. Well, because, you know, for us and for you, right, what's best for me and what's best for you is to apply God's way of life. It's not good for me if I come to you and just chop you off at your knees. It doesn't help you and doesn't help me. Unless you're really spiritual, it's like you're like a duck. You get sprayed with water, it just falls off your back. And that's what God says we're supposed to be, right? But in our relationships with each other, what's good is we're receptive. Yes, okay, we move forward. And that's why Jesus Christ died, so we could have relationships with each other. We could grow with each other. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and I think I'm going to do a part two, because there's more to mercy. There's more to mercy. Just to give you a little hint, God showed David mercy in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And in that chapter, Samuel shows David that where you've sinned against God. And David is cut to the heart and he confesses his sins. I'm sorry. And God forgives him the sin. But guess what? There's consequences that lasted with David till the end of his death. These consequences helped him remember the sins that he created. Even though God says, I forgive your sins, right? But he wants us to understand that there's a penalty for sin. He wants us to come to understand in our lives that there is a penalty. Yes, he can pardon us from the death penalty. But to learn to not sin again, there's consequences that do happen in our lives. God is merciful. God shows mercy by having consequences come into our lives. So I'll do a part two on that, where it talks about more on mercy and go into a couple examples on that. So hopefully this is a good taste. Hopefully it's something that'll be helpful in our lives, that when someone sins against us, we have God's Holy Spirit. We don't have to be like the world. We can just say, hey, I need to let it go.